message is brought to you by Kevin Rogers Ministries and City of Faith Christian Center. For more information, please visit kevinrogersministries.org or cityoffaithcc.org.
Things on the inside through the word, it may not seem that way then, because your perception will change. The enemy uses everything outside of you to change something inside of you. He can't change something inside of you without affecting something outside. He need that. But see, God not like that, because what God uses the word to put in you to change the inside of you, because it's an inside job. Am I right about that?
Amen.
So if you want to change, don't be going looking for something outside to do it. Go to the word, because it's in the word where he began to do the inside work.
Amen.
Glory to God. Folks, you don't see life as it is. You see life as you are. Now look at this. In Psalms 51, as a matter of fact, I was meditating this today, but and I wasn't thinking about it, and then I was in my office, and I was about to come out, and I told them, hey, get my Bible back. I need to write something down. I put a note here. I don't know why I didn't write it earlier. Psalms 51, look at verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou would not despise. A broken spirit or a contrite heart. Okay? Contrite. Or we can say a broken, a broken heart, really. Now, most people look at that and say, think that's bad.
Yeah.
When they look at a broken heart. Because it's how they have seen, what they've seen in life. Everything is breaking their heart. But with God, that is not bad. Let me tell you the reason why. Because we got two different perceptions. We got one of them messed up. That's a such thing of a broken heart. And a broken heart is a heart that have yielded itself and opened to God. What people have mistaken a broken heart for is a wounded heart. And when you have a wounded heart, that heart is rooted in hurt and pain. That heart closes itself off to God. What that heart does, it say this right here. That heart say, I don't know why God allowed this to happen to me. But a broken, can I show you this? Watch this. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Because here go an example of a broken heart. Verse 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. All right? Cast me not away from thy presence and take thy Holy Spirit not from me. So he said, create in me a new heart. Now, for David to say that, David's heart had to have been broken and open to God for God to do an inside work on him. For him to say that. And so he wants to speak it from a wounded heart. Can I show you what a wounded heart speak from? Let's go to Judges real quick. Go to Judges real quick. Let's go to Judges 16. Okay? Glory to God. Life ain't better than what you think you see it is. Life is better than this, folks. I don't care what trap you think the devil got you in, but you can be sprung from it with the word.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, I want you to, let me see. I want to go to, let's go to Judges 15. All right, let's look at this. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. All right? You know, he took an animal there. That's a token of reconciliation, you know, where they get intimate and all that. That's what that's about, okay? Now watch this. Her father said, I rarely thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to thy companion, best man. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistine, though I do them a displeasure. In other words, I do them harm. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, took firebrand, turned them tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. Now, he's operating out of a wounded heart. Because a wounded heart he operates through a destructive mindset. A wounded heart always try and wound others. A wounded heart would always try and wound others. Well, a contrite heart will always try and reconcile others back to God. Are y'all with me? So you'll never be free operating from a wounded heart. Because a wounded heart blames God. They put the blame on someone else. A wounded heart put the blame on someone else. But a contrite heart does not. A contrite heart says, I'm open to you, God, whatever. Amen. Teach me whatever you need to teach me. I'm open. I understand I'm not in the best place in life that I desire to be in, but I'm open. I'm open. Glory to God. I'm open. Jesus, before he went to the cross, he said this right here. He said, Lord, take this cup from me because, you know, can you just pass it to someone else? But he said, nevertheless, not my will, because I have a contrite heart. Let your will be done.
Amen.
And a lot of times, it's best to let his will be done and not your own. Because a lot of times when you start operating in your own, you operate from a place of hurt and being wounded. Are you with me? And so now watch this, because what happened is when you're operating out of a wounded heart, your thinking changes. Your thinking began to change because your perception began to change, and it's changing from the root of a wounded heart. Because people who hurt, they just hurt others. Because you operate out of hurt. You know, Jesus said this right here. Let's go to Matthew 12. Just watch this in Matthew 12, okay? Somebody say, heal my heart, Lord.
Heal my heart, Lord.
Yeah, because that's what a lot of it has to do with. It's not people, folks. Satan use people to do things, but it's not people. You have, out of a wounded heart, you have to have the capacity to forgive people. I know a lot of people done me wrong, but I just had to forgive them and keep moving. Why? It ain't for them, for me. So once I free them, I'm free. You never be free until you free them. Are you with me? Until you free them, you free. Okay. Matthew 12. Look at this. Verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. How can the fruit in the tree get corrupt? A wounded heart can do it. So what do a tree produce? It produces fruit outwardly so you can partake of it. A wounded heart, just say the wounded heart is the tree. It's going to produce outwardly fruit too. Wounded fruit, messed up fruit. And why? For everybody else to partake of your wounds. Because you can only produce what's in you. Are y'all with me? So you have to be open for change. You have to be open for God to deal with you. Don't ever close yourself off to God. Amen. Everything that happened in life is choice driven. Everything. Choice driven. And I'm telling you. So what the enemy have people thinking, when you're operating out of that wounded place, I don't know why I'm sticking with this part. You operating out of that wounded place, he began to start having you making decision choices and everything wrong. Why? Because you're looking at it from a point of view of being wounded. All right? It can anything happen. That's why you had to be open up for change in your life. That's why you had to have your heart open up for God to work with you. To, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's going to work with you on things. You know, you can't close yourself off to that, because if you close yourself off to that, you just cut your own lifeline.
Amen.
Sometimes the enemy have us to perceive that life is so bad, but really is really not. Because there are two ways that God will cause you to come to a place of brokenness, folks. Either you open yourself up to he will allow, I ain't say he'll do, he will allow certain circumstances to do it.
Amen.
Well, there are certain things God wants to us to be open to him about. And what happened is through stubbornness, through ignoring, because we can hear God and ignore. And through certain things, we won't hear him. But it's strange in the midst of certain trials. Now you're open. In the midst of certain issues, your ear is open to heaven.
Oh, yes, sir.
Ain't nothing better than hearing the voice of God and taking them instructions and walking it by faith, not knowing, not knowing what's ahead, but you know God is ahead. Maybe I don't see him, but I know God is there. That's what he do. It was a reason in Exodus. Let's go to Exodus real quick. I'm ministering out of the Holy Ghost now because I wouldn't even intend to talk about all this. But let's go to Exodus 13 real quick. Yeah. You had to be open for him. To be completely open for change, you got to be open. You had to have a contrite heart for him. He wants your whole heart. He don't want your heart just on Sunday.
Amen.
He wants your heart on your job.
Amen.
He wants your whole heart. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I'm challenging you now because that's a challenge there. Because sometimes we give God pieces of the heart of what we want him to have. But we don't allow him access to certain parts of our heart. So how do you know, Pastor, how do I know that I do not allow God certain access to my heart? The things you struggle with, you have not even given to him. You keep them to yourself to try and fix them a lot of the times. And it's a struggle trying to fix your own problems sometimes. I call it straight toil. Now watch this, Exodus 13. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistine, although that was near. Uh-oh. He didn't give them the shortcut. He did not give them the shortcut to the promised land. Watch this. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent. When they see war, they will return to Egypt. They weren't broken. They wasn't broken yet. They were still stubborn in some areas. They wasn't broken yet, folks. So God don't give you the shortcut all the time. Some things you come out too quick, folks, you'll find yourself going back in them. Watch this. And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are okay sometimes. I had to go through it. And this is how you know when you're finished with it. You're completely open to God. You have given God complete control over everything. Family, money, life, your assignment in life, everything. Because you might not get it through the shortcut. Mm-hmm. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. So he had to take them through a wilderness experience. A wilderness experience. And sometimes in a wilderness experience, it is not, folks, it is not peaches and cream. All right? Let me show you something. It's not a short journey sometimes. But in the wilderness experience, that is when I really reacquainted myself with the voice of God. Oh, glory to God. Can you put up Isaiah 43 verse 2? When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Sometimes people forget this. Watch this. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire. Some trial seems that way, don't it? Well, watch this. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So it's not a shortcut all the time.
Amen, Pastor.
But Pastor, I'm decreeing the word, ain't nothing happened. Keep decreeing it.
Amen.
If he promised it,
oh, yes.
He said he is faithful to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Stand on the word.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Thank
you. Stand on the word. So he didn't take them through the way of the wilderness, Philistine, which although that were closer, they wasn't open. Their heart still was not broken. So they would have easily went back to slavery. Their heart wasn't broken. So he had to take them through the wilderness. Everybody have those experiences, folks. I'm not going to sit up and tell you you're not going to be exempt from that. You have those. You have those experiences where it seems like you're in the desert. You have those experiences where it seems like you're screaming and God is not hearing you. That's when faith have to kick in. This is the confidence. Glory to God. That's why he said in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense or reward, that you have need of patience after you have done the will of God. Now look, then you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now here go the key here. Now, after you have done the word, he said you done the will of God, he said you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. So when you do the word, and then manifestation, but in between that, that's where patience had to kick in. But in the between time is when Satan will fight you the most.
Yes.
This is the time where the enemy will fight your mind the most. He'll fight your thought life the most. After you have done the word, and he'll have you thinking, it ain't working.
Come on, Pastor.
It ain't working. You've been confessing it, but it ain't working. So it's the in-between time. It's that in-between time. It's the way, it's the time I call it the wilderness, the time of the wilderness. I've been confessing it, but nothing happened. Keep confessing it. Let's go to, I'm off notes here. I'm going in spirit here. Let's go to 1 Kings here. Glory to God. All right. And I want you to see something here. 1 Kings 18. Boy, somebody getting this stuff right out of me because
Amen.
I was about to teach something else.
Amen.
1 Kings 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. There's a sound. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a sound, but there's no rain yet. You know something is about to happen, but you see no proof. That's when you had to be in faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the evidence, another word for evidence, proof. Faith got to come and be your proof now until this thing manifests. He said, there's a sound, abundance of rain. But watch this, because I want you to see something here. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth. Watch this. To put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. When it looked in the bank account, there is nothing.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, yes, sir.
went and looked at all the bills due and tried to look at, there is nothing. You've been praying though, but there is nothing. He said, go and look again. Go and look again. He went the second time. There is not. Now, it's take faith to expect something here now. Because he keep going to look. Go and look again. Now, I know that servant probably saying, man, the old man, I don't think he get it. But I'm doing it out of obedience. All right? Now, watch this. Because what happened is, a lot of times when you having that type of wilderness experience where it seems like you're alone, when it seems like God is not listening, where it seems like no one cares, when it seems like things are getting worse by the minute, folks, all right? God's instruction is to tell you, go look again. Why did he keep telling him to go look again? Why did he keep telling him this? He kept telling him this because the first six times his perception was wrong. There is a way that seems right. So what happened, a lot of times people just give up because things are just, it just ain't looking right. But I challenge you to go back and look again. Watch this, watch this. All right. Now he look here. Let's look at this thing. Verse 43. And said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. Went up and looked now, and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. All right? Go again seven times. I can see he went the third time. Nothing. I can see he went the fourth time. Probably discouraged. But he went the fifth time. He began to stand back up now, looking different. He went the sixth time. Oh, something else began to get a little bold in him. His perception, every time he go, because he got the word from God, there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So the word from God here is that rain is about to manifest. And so he got that word, glory to God. And once he got that word, look, I'm telling you, there are times when you get the word, yes, it may be discouraging the first four or five times. When you going and ain't nothing there. It may look bad. But he told him, go look again. So that sixth time he went. Because he tell us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. All right? So every time he walking, Lord have mercy, he's demonstrating faith. Every time he's walking, he's demonstrating faith. Because faith is a two-sided coin. On one side, you believe. In the other side, you act on what you believe. All right? You may start off weak. But by him keep going, now he's walking by faith. Because the more he goes, the more he's going to begin to start believing now. Are you with me? And things may not look good at first, but keep walking.
Amen.
I told someone one time, I was telling them, I said, look. They didn't have a job. I said, look, this is what you do. You want the job, get up every morning, get dressed, and go down and stand to that place where you want the job at. When they did it, something happened. It didn't happen the first time. It didn't happen the second time. But they kept doing it. And each time they did it, they was demonstrating faith in action. Because faith is a two-sided coin. You believe one side and you act on what you believe on the other side. So every time this man got up and went to look, he is walking by faith now. And around the seventh time, his faith called, oh Lord, watch this, watch this. Watch this, all right? Let me show you this. And it came to pass at the seventh time. Woo. Oh boy, that's perfect. That he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea. Can I tell you something? I believe the cloud was already there. I believe because his perception, he thought something so small couldn't produce something so big. Are y'all with me? Out of the perception sometimes. All right? He thought that something so small. So sometimes we overlook something. That's why he said, despise not small beginnings. But when you overlook it, you can miss. Think about this, folks. Let's think about this real quick. I'm almost finished here. All right? Watch this. Prepare thy chariot and get thee down. All right? He said in verse 44, and he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rains stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, Lord have mercy, that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Now, all of that started, all right? Now, what would have happened if he would have quit the third time? Because things seem like they're hard in life sometimes. That's really no excuse to quit. Let's go back to Psalms 51 real quick. Let's go back to Psalms 51, all right? Psalms 51. I want you to see here. Look at verse 17 again. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, or God will not despise thee. So you have to open yourself up for God. A broken heart is a heart that is open for God. You make mistakes, you repent, and you move forward and be open for God. You can't operate out of a wounded heart because a wounded heart closes itself up to God and lashes out on people. And that's why, you know.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to copy and distribute this message to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way. For more resources, go to KevinRogersMinistries.org.